Hi everyone, you are now listening to our podcast, For a While. We are just two Filipina 30-somethings now currently based elsewhere in the world, trying to find our way and figuring out what that means for us. Our podcast is where we take a little break to regroup, share what we've learned, and find new ways to move forward. I'm Kirsty.
And I'm Andrea, and if you hear something that resonates, we'd love for you to let us know.
The year that I burnt out, which was 2015, I was actually, because I was working at a client's office, I had kind of a different work schedule, really. So usually it was, you know, Monday to Friday I was working. But because I was working at a client's office and it was like a 3-hour drive away, I was given the option, do you want to do your normal hours Monday to Friday, or do you want to do all your hours Monday to Thursday? So I said, oh, well, I'm going to be in this other city by myself. There's no point doing shorter hours. I have nothing to do. I have no one to see. You know what I mean? There's just nothing else. Like, I'm there for work, so I might as well just have longer work days and then have a longer weekend. So I was working all of my hours Monday to Thursday, and then I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. But you're working your normal hours, but then I also have an additional travel time at the beginning of the week and at the end of the week, because I was traveling up and down nearly every week. So it was like 3 hours coming down, 3 hours going back up. And there were periods when, you know, there's accidents, there's really bad roadworks, whatever, there's closures on the motorway, and it just takes longer and longer. Like, there was one time my 3-hour journey turned into like a 6-hour journey, but it was late at night because I left on a Thursday night after work. So like at 9, I left to go back up, and I got back at like 3 a.m. and I was so exhausted because there were just road closures everywhere and the traffic was so bad that I remember being sat on the motorway in traffic, and I was just like crying because I was so tired. I was just like, I'm like, it's not moving. So it's not like you can just pull over and stop, you know, or look for somewhere to stay. It was literally, I'm stuck on the motorway and it's not moving, and I'm so tired, and I just want to go to bed and lie down. But yeah, there were periods of that. But basically, I think an issue that I had was, although in theory the shorter Monday to Thursday week was really, really nice, my problem was I was traveling up and down as well. And then pretty much 2 weeks after I started this, I was on this project the year before that should have finished in that year. So it should have finished in 2014 in December. But the client just hadn't finished their part of the project where they have to read through it, get comments, all of these things, see where we want to add more stuff, basically give you feedback. They've got comments that you then need to incorporate back into the report, respond to. Maybe you might need to do a little bit more analysis. It just depends, right? But they hadn't finished that part. So it ran over into 2015. So I ended up doing all my hours Monday to Thursday, plus at least 6 hours of traveling. And then Friday I was working as well, because I was doing all that work for that project that ran over. And so I was doing like, what, an extra 2 days of work in that week. Is that right? Yeah, an extra 2 days of work or something. Which was stressful because it was just like, I just felt so all over the place and I just felt very, very overworked. What did happen was I got paid loads of overtime at some point. I just started charging to overtime because usually you need permission to charge overtime, but if you run over your minimum hours, you can just accumulate the hours you've worked and then you can just take it as like an extra day off. And I was accumulating so many days off that I was like, I can't take all of these days off anyway. I'm going to start charging to overtime because there's no point, right? I can't take the days off. I don't have time to take the days off. So basically at the end of 2015, actually, I managed to accumulate so many days off that I took 6 weeks off work and was in Cebu. And that was also when my sister got married, all that stuff. I took 6 weeks off. I think that saved me in that I was able then to go back to my job in 2016. Because I think had I not taken that time off, I would have just quit, honestly. Because I was prepared to, like, when I said to my manager that I wanted to take this much time off, and if they were going to come back to me and say, you can't, you can only take a maximum of 2 weeks off, I was prepared to quit at that point. I was like really prepared to say, well, if that's the case, I'm going to quit then. So, yeah. I don't know. I forgot what my point was. Yes. So there, I remember we were just talking about whether we think going forward the 4 day week might be the way forward, and then we have like a 3 day weekend, a 4 day work week, but perhaps just longer days, work days. And I think actually, you know, for those first 2 weeks where that was what I did, I had those 4 days of work where I started at like 7:30, I finished at 7:30. So I did like a 12-hour day, I think. Obviously, I took an hour break in the middle to have lunch, and then I go for a walk. I always go for a walk at lunchtime because it just helps my brain. And that was really good for the first 2 weeks when that was all I did, even with the driving at the beginning and the driving at the end. But it was really nice because then I would drive back up on Thursday night and I would arrive late, but I didn't have to get up early on Friday. And sometimes it sucks because on Fridays, all your friends are working anyway, so it's not like you can hang out with other people. But I used Fridays as just sort of, well, when I did have Fridays off, I would use it as just me time. So I'd go to a cafe that might be, if I wanted to do some shopping, you know, if I wanted to buy new clothes or something, that was when I would do it because I tend to shop alone because it's just quicker. Yeah, that's what I would do. I'd run errands on the Friday, and then by the weekend I'm done, and then we can, you know, hang out with other people on the weekend then. But yeah, it kind of sucks because really you don't really have 3 days off when you're also doing the traveling, because say usually I travel down Sunday night, so you don't have all of Sunday off then, because then you start already traveling in the afternoon, right? You don't really have all of Friday off because you're kind of recovering from the driving you did on Thursday night. There were times as well I'd drive up on Friday morning just because, say, I was really tired and I didn't feel like sitting in the car for 3 hours, or if the traffic was really bad, then I just wait for Friday morning. But then Friday also has the whole other issue of everyone's traveling on Friday. So it's not ideal if you're traveling around. I'd imagine, and I think, actually, I really, really believe that if you were in your normal home setting and you just were doing 4 days a week, that would be really, really good. Obviously, doing all your hours, but just compressed in the 4 days a week would be really nice. Yeah.
I think it trains you to be more productive, to not waste your time, to maximize everything. Hopefully, well, I think ideally it will improve concentration and focus.
Yeah. I think it can get hard. I mean, like if you're doing a 12-hour day, it's like there's a point where you struggle, right? But that's where I found lunchtime walks to be really useful. I'd either put music in or put a podcast in. And then there was a lake near where, was it a lake or was it a field? It was like a field, I think. And then you walk. I did like this loop where I'd walk around and then do a loop around the field. And it was just really nice because it was, you know, just trees and you're not walking on a pavement, like, next to a road. It was just, like, quiet, and there'd be people who'd be like, hey, do you want to go for a walk? And I'd just be like, no, I'm okay, and then just go for a walk on my own, because I just find that a lot more relaxing than going for a walk and then talking to other people. I recharge and relax a lot better when I'm completely on my own and there's no pressure to have to talk to anyone.
Same.
Sometimes I think I look at jobs because, you know, I left my job before and I would kind of think about applying to another job similar to it. But I don't know if I told you this. I had an interview before with a job that would have been similar to the job that I had previously where I burnt out and I left. I kind of was thinking, oh, you know, the reason I applied was, one, I was like, oh, I mean, it'd be nice to have the money, right? And then Second, I was like, I've got experience in this, so I already understand it. I know how to do it. So it's kind of a matter of coming in and learning how the different things that they do and then how to apply that and all that. So yeah, so I applied, I got an interview, and I sat in the interview and I was just like, I changed my mind. I don't want to work here. Because I think while I was sat in that interview, I got reminded about all the things that I did not like about the job and the field. I don't know, maybe it was too soon, but I remember sitting there and just already seeing myself burning out again based on how they were talking about how busy they were and the work that they were doing, because they were sharing a bunch of things and the, like, we want you to travel, all of that. And I was just like, it's not something I want to do. And I said that. I, like, said I would be looking to not go there. I don't want to go to travel to somewhere else. Like, I'd rather just work here, all of that stuff. And I think that, one, that was good for me as sort of validation for the decision I had made previously, right? Where I was like, oh, I made the right decision. But then also, I think that was good for me in kind of asserting myself and just saying, yeah, I would not be willing to do that. And I think that was good for me because I think I felt better about myself and the decision that I'd previously made.
That's good. It's good that you can make that kind of decision, that you're able to say no and really be strong in what you think works for you. My question is, do you think that you would have felt differently if the company culture was different? Or is it just you just really don't like the work?
So at my previous job, it's hard for me to say exactly. So if I just think about the job that I had previously, one of the things that was a massive pro, a positive about the job was that my colleagues were amazing. So me burning out, my decision to leave, all of that stuff has no reflection on my colleagues, right? Because they were awesome. Like, they were really, really nice people and also incredibly intelligent people, but also most are like, you know, those intelligent people who, you know, they know that they're intelligent, right? But they're not cocky about it. They're happy to help. They're always like offering to help, and they take the time to teach you things and speak to you. And if you have questions, they're not like rushing you along. So I feel incredibly lucky to be part of that team and to be part of that group of people, because I wouldn't have learned as much as I did if I wasn't in that sort of setting. I think that working for a consultancy is very stressful, especially I think during the time I was there, because there was just like things like, you know, cuts and redundancies and problems with business. A lot of it has to do with the industry itself. Working for a consultancy is, I think, extra stressful rather than working for the company that, you know, like our client. If I had worked directly at the client, I think that there it's like slightly less stressful there, because you're not constantly thinking about making sure that the time you're at work, you're able to charge it to a project. Because if you're sat there, like, you take time off or whatever, you know, to go for a walk, or you go and eat, all things like that, like, you can't just be charging that to a project, because then you run out of budget on the project, and you kind of are constantly looking at, how much time do I have? How much time have I spent on this? How far along am I in this project? And then sometimes in some projects where it's run over, all of that stuff, then you sometimes have to go back and say, this has run over, this has taken longer than I thought it would. And then you have to go back to your client and ask for more money for the extra time that's needed to complete the project. So I think that was just something that was like an extra element as far as giving you some stress. I think that sometimes, because everyone is just cutting down, like, everyone just wants to get their money's worth, it's just a little bit, you end up, I think, working more hours than you actually charge onto a project, because you don't want to go over on the hours that you spend. So a lot of the times people end up working for free, I think.
Ouch.
Well, this is what happened to me, because it takes so much time to do certain things, but then you also don't want to run over on the project, that I would just work extra hours, but I'm not charging it to anything. So I'm just working for free, right? And so I think, you know, when you're a more junior person, which I was at that time, it's difficult, because I think at first you definitely don't feel like you can express yourself as much, maybe to your manager or your colleagues, that, you know, I'm really, like, overworked now. Like, I'm running out of time. I need more time, which I think over the years I've realized is the best way to just tell people immediately, as soon as you are feeling stressed or as soon as you're running over or you're running behind, you just tell people. It's just easier that way. And it was just something that I didn't at that time feel as comfortable about, I guess. You want to do a good job, right? You don't want to be a problem, and you don't want to be the one causing things to run behind. So you kind of just work extra hours. But I think that when you do that, one of the problems is you just start to resent your job, because you kind of don't feel like you're being compensated well for the work that you put in and the time that you put in and the brain power, the energy, all of that stuff. And it's, I don't know, I think it's, for some people, I think eventually they get there and they figure it out. I think some people figure it out much sooner. Yeah, because there's definitely people, like, I had colleagues who were completely fine with telling people that it's run over, you know, we need more money. But I think there definitely is that point when you're first starting out, or like you're junior and you just kind of want to do a good job, and sometimes you just don't know how to stand up for yourself, I guess. I don't know. Can you relate? Is that something that you've experienced?
Well, definitely. I feel like that's all too common, a sentiment where you don't feel like you're being compensated fairly. And I guess that's one of the earliest signs of burnout, right? And then you mentioned you're just crying on the way to work because of the traffic and it wasn't moving. And I feel like that's so common, where, you know, like, my crying moment was, I was in a Korean restaurant and I was just so stressed from the work that I just started crying there, and the waiter said, here, have some more appetizers so you stop crying. Because, you know, Korean restaurants give free banjo. And it's like, the way that I was crying was that the tears were just falling from my eyes. Like, I just couldn't stop it. I mean, I wasn't feeling particularly despairing. I think it was just so much that I just needed to discharge.
Yeah.
So.
I know what you mean. It's just, you know, when I was working at the client's office that year, I cried at work. Oh my God. And it was just so, it's kind of like that where I was just exhausted, I think. I was just exhausted. And it was just this new piece of work then that came out of nowhere. And it was of high importance. And it was like, you had to get it right because I don't want to go into detail because there's a lot of stuff about the work and I don't want to go into detail about that, but it's just, it was just important, like an important piece of work that I needed to get done. And I'd sent it to kind of my, I guess he would have been my supervisor on the project. So I'd written this thing where I was basically making safety arguments about something, but a piece of equipment, and then did a little bit of analysis, sent it to him, and he checked it, and then he had like a few comments, and then he sent it back to me, and then I was sat at the desk and he just came over and said, Kirsty, so I've looked through it, it looks fine, just had a few comments, just add that in. It's just like, you know, add in a few sentences where you just say particular statements like very, very explicitly. So I was like, oh, that's great. And then so as he was about to leave, I said, oh, thank you very much, I appreciate it. And then he kind of had his back turned to me, but then when I said that, he like turned back and said, no, thank you, and then walked away. And then when he said thank you, I was just like started crying because someone said thank you to me.
Well, and I was, I think like, that's a better reason to cry than just being so exhausted. Well, but well, you said,
I think I was just so, and then I stood up and I went to the bathroom immediately because I was like, I didn't want to be crying at my desk, right? This crazy. And then I, it's like at a client's office, like it's embarrassing for me because obviously, you know, I'm not at my home office. Went to the bathroom and I just needed a few minutes to just get myself together, but it was just kind of, I think I just felt so tired and I was so exhausted and I was so under pressure. And this was like the first time someone said thank you to me. I guess sometimes you're just like, I don't know. I think it was just like a breaking point where I was just like, oh, okay, I start crying.
Aww.
But similar to what you said, I remember one time where, oh, it was horrible, but I had a panic attack and I've never ever had a panic attack in my life until then, and I've never had one since, where what actually happened was, it was a weekend or something, or it was a Friday maybe, but I thought, oh, I'll just go to the cafe, which wasn't far from the flat that I had. Actually, it was only like a 5 minute, it was probably only a 10 minute walk, but I drove because I was like getting the car cleaned, like all of that stuff, you know, so I drove to the place. Because if you drive your car into the parking area, but then you have your car cleaned, the outside and inside, while you're there, then your parking is free. So I thought, well, I'll just do that because I need my car cleaned anyway. And then I went to a cafe while I was waiting, and I was sat in a cafe and I was writing in my journal, and I was basically in my journal, and I probably could fish it out for you one day, it's somewhere in my drawer, where I had written down how I was feeling, and I was thinking, this makes me, like, I was writing down that this makes me want to quit my job, and I was writing out pros and cons about quitting and not quitting. And then
I remember, I think you were talking about this pros and cons list.
And then I was writing out, like, if I carry on in this job, what will my life look like? And then I was writing it out, and then I read it back, and it was just causing me so much anxiety. And then I was just like writing out, but this isn't what I want, you know, like just reflecting on that and being like, this isn't what I want for my life. I want my life to be different. Like, this isn't the path I want to take, all of that stuff. And basically after a bit, after I'd written all of that, I finished at the cafe and I was walking back to the car. But as I was walking back to the car, it was like I didn't know where I was. And my hands and my feet were just going all tingly.
Wow.
And then I went to the bathroom and I just like sat down in the bathroom for a little bit. And then I was just like, oh, like I just feel really unwell. Like I just feel so nauseated. I thought I was going to faint. And then finally I was like, okay, let me just go back to the car. And I went back to the car and sat down and thought, I'm really, 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 really don't feel good. I was just like hyperventilating, and it was just, I was just tingly all over, and I just felt, you know how you get tunnel vision? I just felt that way. I sat in the car, like took deep breaths, all of that, and then started to feel a little better. And then I quickly, because it's only like, it's less than a 5 minute drive back to the apartment. So I just quickly got in the car as I was feeling better and just drove home. So I was home in like 5 minutes. And then I immediately got home and like changed into pajamas and just lied in bed, put something on TV. And I was just like lying in bed. And then I actually messaged our mutual friend, our male mutual friend.
Okay. Yes.
Elementary Barcada. And I messaged him and I was like, this is how I feel. Am I having a panic attack? And he's like, I think you're having a panic attack. And I was just like, okay, I'm like, I was just like trying to calm down. And eventually I did, but that's the only time that's ever happened to me. And I think I was just like reading what I'd written about what my life would look like if I stayed in this job, and I just carried on this path, and I was just like, it induced an anxiety attack. Which I haven't had since. So, you know, I think I made the right decision to,
yeah, you made the right life choices
since then. But yeah, I think that was the first time really that happened. That again, I think, was almost like, because I think in my mind, I just had thoughts about how I didn't feel like this is where I was supposed to be. I'm not happy, all that stuff. And I think that happening also was sort of just another thing that made me realize that something's got to change. How about for you? Because I know that you've had a few different jobs all over, in different parts of the world now, right? So, you know, you've been in Cebu and Manila, Hong Kong, Singapore.
Yes.
As much as the jobs you've held are kind of related to each other, they've also been quite different, right? What would you say of those jobs were sort of pros and cons of them? Or which ones would you say were most, are closest to kind of your ideal job?
Mm-hmm. It's funny, I was just thinking about that because I'm learning so much in my new job now. I've been getting so many insights and I keep thinking, oh, I wish I could tell my old boss about this. And that's also where I spent the longest time working. So I still feel like working on the client side, and you must know this because
Which boss are you thinking about? Cebu?
In Manila. My last job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first time I was working on the client side. Not really, that wasn't the first time, but it was when I was working on brand strategy and digital marketing strategy, and I really liked that part. I really liked not being on the agency side, because on the agency side, sometimes you do a lot of work. And it's a lot of back and forth, and sometimes nothing happens or it doesn't get approved. And, you know, sometimes it feels like it's difficult to move forward on something. It's a lot of groundwork, I feel. It's a lot of emotional energy to expend, birthing a project on that side. Like when your idea gets rejected and you have to do again, or when you get so many revisions. But I feel like when I was working on the client side, I felt more free, because even though I was just working on a brand, I did so many things, and that way I didn't get bored. But at the same time, I was also wondering, like, I had to ask, is this good for my career long term? And I was working in a company where a lot of people would be happy to retire there. You know, they spend their entire working lives in that company. And I don't know if that was for me. And I don't know if it's my generation. And I don't know if you agree. Or I don't know if it's just me. But I'm the kind of person who can't really say where I'll be in 2 or 5 years. But it was definitely a comfortable... So it's you too.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah. It was definitely a comfortable job, though at some point, I mean, I guess I don't know. I wonder if everybody faces burnout eventually, right? What were the signs of burnout for you?
What were the signs of burnout?
Aside from the very clear body talking to you, anxiety, panic attacks, and
yeah. So I think that was just So I had one panic attack, right? So that obviously, I think it would probably be a bit further down the line. But for me, I was just so I was exhausted, which happens to a lot of people. So maybe that's not as obvious as a sign, but I just was. There were times when I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think it does. Like, I really feel like our bodies really communicate to us clearly, you know, what's going on. Like, it's a clear sign of something. Yeah. And sometimes it takes a while for us. Like, we don't want to listen, or we're like, oh, no, but, you know, we have to keep going. You know, we've been taught to just suck it up and keep going. And I don't know about you, but certainly I was taught that.
Yeah. I had that a lot where I just, you know, you just feel like you're not present. Like, you're just going through the motions. There is no, I don't know. Like, I always think of myself as, like, I'm quite a happy person, right? Like, I'm quite a positive person. Like, I'm someone who, although I can also, like, catastrophize. Did I say that right? Catastrophize things. Yeah. As far as I'm someone who does that, I'm someone who's like, my thinking is always expect the worst, but hope for the best. And then, like, you're never really overly disappointed then. You're always pleasantly surprised. Things are, I don't know, things just come out being positive, and I've always really felt quite positive. Like, I'm always someone, I feel that even though things are crap, I can kind of see a positive. And I've always also believed that in the long run things will work out, and, you know, things will be good, kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I have a positive outlook on life in general. But during that time, I was so negative. I feel so bad for the people who had to be around me during that time, because I was not a particularly nice person to be around, because I was just so negative and sad, but not just sad, but also just like, I think I just felt so lost that I couldn't enjoy things. I just did not enjoy many things. I just didn't want to do anything. I cried a lot. On Friday night, I would already start crying because I had to be back at work on Monday. And I would like panic on a Friday night and be like, oh my God, it's only 2 days until Monday and I have to be up again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, things like that, where it was just happening on a weekly basis already, where I was just so stressed out. I wasn't, you know, like, sleeping wasn't going very well. There's a lot of nights where I'm just like lying in bed, stressing about having to be up on Monday again. And, you know, like I said earlier, like, driving to work, like, I'd get to the car park at work and I'd be sat in the car for 10, 20 minutes trying to will myself to get out and get in, go in. My memory was horrible during that year. There are so many things I don't remember. Yeah. Which, maybe it's a good thing. It's a good thing maybe that my brain has blocked so much out. I don't know. But I was reading up about this because I was worried that there was something wrong with me, but it basically said really high stress situations just affects your memory so much and you struggle to remember things. So I was like, oh, that makes sense. Also, I think, which I'm not sure now, because sometimes I think about it when I've spoken to other people about how I felt during that time, and people who are familiar with like being depressed and depression really think that I was actually quite depressed at that time, which is probably true. I just didn't know it. But then also, I think it's very much different to someone with, like, you know, long-term depression. I think it was very acute. Like, there was a very clear reason as to why I was feeling that way. But yeah, so I think there was that. After that year, year and a half, where I was just so, I was just not great. I also afterwards felt like I had post-event
traumatic
stress and trauma, because I think that it was such a stressful time that I think it was just something that has caused me a lot of, like, post kind of stress. It's been a few years now, which I think I've mostly gotten over now. So before, quite soon after that time, even after I'd quit my job, someone would mention the job I had or the place that I used to live, and I would just start feeling so stressed. Like, I would feel panicked about what they were talking about, and I would just not want to talk about it. Shortly after I left my job, all my work clothes, all the clothes that I ever wore to work, I had to give away, because when I would see them, I would remember things about being at work, where I would remember, oh, this is what I wore when this happened. You know what I mean? It was just not great. So I, like, took everything out, and I don't have them.
Sounds like a really bad breakup.
Yeah, kind of like that. Basically, that's how I would best describe it. I think there was just, and I kind of feel bad about it, because as far as career-wise and professional skills and the things that I learned so much. And I think I greatly, greatly improved my technical writing. And there's so much that I learned. So as far as, like, the career side, the professional side, that has been, like, a very positive experience, right? But I think it was just for my soul. It was just not good for me. But yeah, so what other signs? Yeah, I was crying a lot. Got a lot of headaches. I got a lot of migraines.
Wow.
I just feel unwell for no reason. But yeah, when I then made that decision that I was going to leave and I put my notice in, I gave a one-month notice. After that, I suddenly felt great because I knew there was an end. I suddenly became someone who was like, oh, great, I'm going to work. I'm going to get all this done. Basically, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I did was made it easy for the people who took over from me, right? Because there were still live projects that other people had to take over. So I felt very, like, very into it, where I was like, oh, I just want to get this all done so that when I pass it on to them, they know what they're doing. Like, it was, the last month was pretty positive, but I know it's because I had that end date, right?
It's not just you who did yourself a favor, you did everyone else a favor, I feel. I mean, is it bad to say that, where if it's more positive, just do what makes you happy, right? I mean, everybody would be so much better off for it. It's that kind of thing where everybody says, take care of yourself first. You can't take care of other people. Yeah. You can't be in service if you don't take care of yourself.
I agree. And, you know, during that time, that was when they were doing, like, a round of redundancies where they were letting some people go.
Oh.
And there was someone in my team who was kind of the same level seniority as me, who was on, like, the at risk because he didn't have many projects and his, like, utilization was pretty low. So I feel very good about the fact that me leaving and him taking over a lot of my work saved his job, because
great.
I didn't want to be there anymore, but he had a mortgage and he had, like, you know, he had stuff like that. So I know that he would have gotten a lot more value from the job than I would have, I feel. Yeah. So that was good. And then I think that not only for me personally, but also for my partner, right? Like, for my boyfriend, like, me quitting my job was much better for our relationship, because I was taking so much of that stress, my work stress, was spilling over into relationships outside of work. And for me personally, it's not worth it. So yeah, so that was great as far as my relationships outside of work.
How long had that been going on, you know, the burnout signs, and what is it that made you finally decide that you've had enough?
So it was going on for quite a while. It was like a year and a half of slowly burning out. And then maybe like 8 months-ish of slowly burning out. And then like another 8 months of just being, or maybe longer. Yeah, 10 months or something of just being aware that I've burnt out. And this is like, I need to quit. I need to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
actually actively thinking about quitting. So it was like nearly a year before the first thought of quitting entered my mind and me actually quitting. So it was quite a long time. It wasn't like a snap decision, which I think some people thought it was because I didn't tell them about it. I've been mulling it over for ages. And my boyfriend knew, obviously, because he's the one I saw the most. So he, there were many tears where me just like, I don't want to go to work. And him having to be like, well, stay home. I think he's very supportive about doing what's best for you. And what was best for me. So he was very supportive about that. What was the other part of the question again?
What is it that made you finally decide that enough is enough?
Right, yeah. So I remember it was like a Friday, I think, or a Saturday, where I had a nice day, actually. I had a really nice day. But then in the evening, I was starting to stress out about Monday morning. Really stressing out about it. Where I was just crying. Basically arguing with my boyfriend about my work and how I felt about my work, but it had nothing to do with him, really.
Really?
I was just, you know, not feeling good, where he's just saying, you know, if it makes you feel this bad, you should just quit. And I was like, but I have so much work to do. How do I quit? And I haven't finished all the work. You know what I mean? Like, I was just thinking, that was what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. I've got to finish all my work and all that stuff. And he was kind of like, yeah, but, you know, you can't be like this where you're like crying all the time. Like, it's not worth it. And I was just like, I don't know. But basically, it was after that weekend where it was the week after, the Friday after. So it was like a week later that I put my notice in, where I just realized, like, it's not worth it. And it's not worth us arguing about something that's not even about us. It was just too much. And I think I reached my breaking point at that point. But, you know, the day I left my job, I was kind of sad because I really liked the people I worked with. And the work itself, when I'm actually doing the nitty-gritty work, I really enjoyed it. It was just the stress around it, which is annoying. But the day I left my job was like, I don't know, it was like this weight was lifted off of my shoulders. I remember on a Friday, I finished at like 4:30 or 5, something like that, yeah. And then I drove home, and it was in the summer. It was August, I think it was. I was alone because my boyfriend and his friends, well, my friend as well, went to this like science and music festival. It's called Blue Dot here in the UK. It's called Blue Dot Festival. It's really good. They went to that, so they'd left, and so I had no one to hang out with. But it was so nice because basically I went back home, and then I was like, oh, what should I do tonight? You know what I did? I went to the takeaway. I had chicken nuggets. I had fries. I had some, like, I had like fish and chips. And then I bought myself a pint of Ben and Jerry's. And I sat on the sofa and I ate it and I watched TV. And then, like, I went to sleep at like midnight. And then I woke up to no alarm. And then I went to the festival and joined the rest of them. Like, it was just so nice. And I just felt like, I don't know, it was just like a nice way to finish that, where I went to this festival and it was like so chill. It was like science talks, but then also music. I just felt like I was alive again.
Wow.
Which I don't know how else to explain, but I think I just felt like, yes, I made the right decision. I made the right decision. So yeah. I hope I'm not sounding like someone who's like, hey, you should just go to festivals all the time and eat ice cream all the time and have fun all the time. I think we all know that there are stressful parts to any job and any occupation and anything that you do. But it's just, I think that we shouldn't ignore ourselves when we know that we've reached a point where we need to make a change.
Yeah.
I think I ignored it for too long. And I think that I would have been better off if early on, when I was getting really bogged down with work, I was very stressed, I was very overworked, that I just told my supervisors, my manager, that this is too much, I can't keep up. And sometimes I think that maybe if I hadn't burnt out, I probably would still be at that job. I don't know.
Really? Maybe you would still be at your job, but maybe instead of dialed all the way up to 100, it would just be 50. And is that any way to live?
Yeah, I know what you mean. You could say that things happen for a reason and we get to where we are one way or another, you know. But I think I lost time as far as my mood, my energy, my life enjoyment. I think I lost of time.
You feel like then. You wasted that time.
Yeah, I feel like I did. But also, I don't know. I think the flip side of that is that I've experienced that now and I know what to look out for now. And I know when I know now when I'm going into that, starting to burn out, that, and I know when to stop and take a break. And like for me, I'm doing a PhD, and the PhD that I'm doing is a 4-year one. Well, now it's 4.5 because I've got a 6-month extension because of the pandemic. I know that this is a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. And I know that I can't work 12-hour days every day. It just doesn't make any sense for me to do that and still want to do it in 2 years. I know when to take a break now. I know that I need to pace myself. I know that it's not worth burning out over again. It's really not. So yes, I think I've been very good at when I need some help, I've just told people. When I need to tell my supervisor I need, you know, some time off, I tell him, and it doesn't become a bigger issue. So yeah, that is my advice to people if anyone is listening. I don't know if that's helpful or not. I don't know if this is something
I think
experience.
Yeah. Well, I think it's super helpful. I think maybe like reflecting now on what happened to you, maybe it's given you a better idea of boundaries for yourself, a better idea of how to take care of yourself. And I'm wondering, what if burnout is not really something you manage, or it's not really something that it's just a sign that you just need better coping strategies? What if burnout is really just a message that it's time to move on? I mean, you say that it's not a marathon, but times are different now. You know what I mean? I mean, I have no answer to that question. It's just a thought.
What do you mean?
Like, it's not just about learning how to manage yourself better, but maybe like a burnout is just a sign that you need a change.
Yeah.
Like, it's just time to move on.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if it's something that occurs repeatedly, then it's kind of like, do you really want to be where you are? Like, why do you put up with things that you know you don't deserve?
Well, that's true. I feel like life has a way, maybe I'm being hopeful, maybe I'm being too hopeful, but I would like to think that life has a way of working itself out once you realize what you deserve.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, because I think that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I guess we're still very, very early on in our life journey. But I feel like the last 10 years in particular has been such a journey, right? And challenge slash experience slash so many learnings. I agree with you that I feel like once you figure out what it is you deserve, what it is you value, you're able to see kind of what it is that you want and what it is you don't want, very importantly as well, and what it is you're not going to put up with anymore, and what it is that just doesn't fit in with how you want to live your life. Like, when we think about something, maybe something more concrete, let me see. So something like, if a job that would involve a lot of traveling, at this point in my life, I'm just not interested in it.
You know, I thought I would never be that person, but as it turns out, I am that person.
Yeah.
This conversation has also made me realize, I think this is why, I think your serious burnout is why you have less guilt about stopping and moving on if it doesn't work for you anymore. And when I tell you that I feel guilt about picking up something and then losing interest in it, and I think that's why it's so easy for you, which is something I admire, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need more reasons to feel guilty about anything for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that you're completely right in that as much as me burning out was such a horrible experience when you're in it, yeah, and it was lasted so long, I just feel like since then, there's just so much more clarity in me, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just have so much more clarity as far as what I want, what I don't want. And then once something is like, I don't like it, it's just kind of like, oh, I don't like it. Like, it's just not worth it because it was just such a horrible experience that it's just not something I would wish on myself or anyone else. Because it's not just the time that you are burning out as well. It's after that. You don't, at least in my experience, and I think this is true, like, you just don't get over it immediately. There's just like this period of you feel like you're recovering.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that I was talking to a friend and he's going through the same thing that you did. I was telling him, this feels like PTSD. Maybe you should talk to somebody about that, because just the mere mention of the company name, just the mere idea, or just talking to ex-colleagues is already enough to give him palpitations.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can't, and even though the word, the name of the company is actually a very common name, like it's an adjective, like he can't even think about using that word without, you know, getting hives.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely speak to someone if he finds that, he'll probably find it helpful. Maybe just to even just process, right? Honestly, I didn't speak to someone, but then I am a heavy, heavy, like, you know, really quite intense journaler.
Yeah.
So that is how I processed my thoughts.
That's great.
Yeah. So there was a period like after I left my job, and then for like the first week or two, it's like, ooh, I've got nothing to do and all that stuff, and it was nice to sleep and chill and go for walks and all that stuff. And then there was then a period where I was just like, okay, I kind of want to figure this out, you know. Something that I haven't mentioned and which I did do before I quit my job was I made sure to save money so that I had some time after I quit my job to, like, I had space, right? And I had money to pay for expenses and things like that. So that's definitely something people need to think about, because there's nothing worse than quitting and then also not having the money, because it's added stress again. So
that's true.
Yeah. So do you know, if you're thinking about quitting or if you're thinking about taking a break, a gap year, whatever it is, make sure that you've thought about how much that will cost for you as far as your expenses and rent and all of that stuff. And then maybe it means you move back home with your parents or something. They might be happy to have you home, and maybe that's the best way forward. That'll just maybe minimize your expenses as well. But yeah, definitely think about that, because it, you know, money can be a stressor as well. But yeah, one of the things that I did, which I kind of really want to get back into, but it's just a bit difficult at the moment because it's still technically winter and it doesn't get light out in the morning until like 8:30 or 9 o'clock. It's still quite dark. But I would wake up at like 5 a.m. I'd wake up at 5 a.m. I'd make myself a peppermint tea, and then I'd sit down and journal until I felt like I couldn't write anymore. And I felt like that was a very therapeutic thing to do for me anyway. And I did that for maybe like 2 months, where in the morning I'd wake up 5 a.m. I'd just get up. And then sometimes I'd go back to sleep at like 12 o'clock. I'd get tired at lunchtime. Aww. And then I'd nap again, but I'd get up in the morning and at 5 o'clock, and it was really nice because it's like no one else is awake, right? Like, it's so quiet. You don't hear anything. You'd see the sunrise. And it was just, I think, a really nice way of just having some sort of routine, but then also processing my thoughts. And then, I don't know, I just really, really enjoyed it. I kind of want to do it again. But 5 a.m. is so early. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, same.
So what would you say for you, again, because you've had multiple jobs over the years, how did you know when it was time to move on?
To be honest, I don't remember it as much just because I've done it so much, so often. But I do feel that I was also very negative. Or like sometimes when people are also being negative and I feel like I let that get to me. Or like when I would just show up to work so late. I feel like showing up to work really late is a clear sign.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really funny.
Like, I'm just imagining myself showing up to work late, like with a sheepish smile. But I mean, just imagine if I would show up to work late and drunk.
You were drunk?
No, I wasn't, but it's a funny image. Okay. A funny, sad image.
Yeah.
There was this one time.
Don't show up and to work drunk, guys. That's probably not a good idea.
I do remember. I was this wasn't part of the burnout yet, I guess, or maybe because I wasn't really. It was like an isolated situation where I had a hard time with a vendor, and so I was like drinking every night, and that wasn't me. Like, I would drink alone.
Oh no.
Yeah. I would drink alone, but I would drink outside, like at a restaurant. So that was like a few months. I feel like it does. Like, I've never gone to a supermarket to buy. Well, maybe I have, I don't remember.
Yeah. Were you dancing? I remember the story, Anne, of you had this job and you had to be at this bar, and then you were drinking alone and you were dancing alone, and then a mutual friend.
No, and I was on the job.
Like, what is she doing?
I was on the job. Like, it was part. Yeah, I know.
Okay,
cool. That wasn't fun. Yeah, I think I was also very negative, and I think I was ruminating about things, about the job, and it's just blech. I'm just grateful that I don't think I've reached that breakdown stage. I feel like I'm capable of that, though. Like, if I just let it go on and on and on.
I know you mentioned that, you know, you had those periods where you feel like it's, for the lack of a better phrase, I guess, like going downhill, right? But how did you stop yourself from burning out? How did you know to not let it carry on downhill?
Well, I think in those situations, there was this one time, I think the first time I quit without like a backup was early on in my career, maybe a few years after that. And then I took 6 months, and then I was doing like freelance in the meantime. And I think even when I was freelancing, I just didn't have that sense of security that, and I feel like during that time, that was its own downward spiral, right? So not having a job. So I was like, I don't want to go through that again. So I feel like all the times when I moved to Manila, all the times when I wasn't feeling it anymore, it just so happened that there was like another job. And then because I was able to find another job, it was like I was able to just move on. So I feel like that's what happened to me. It's like I was lucky enough to be able to find a job where I could. But then at the same time, like looking back, I feel like, you know, I was just changing my circumstances, but I feel like the situation was essentially the same. So like upon further reflection, I would have tried to, maybe it was a matter of changing my perspective or changing maybe my limiting beliefs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It feels kind of new agey to think. But for example, there's this thing about like, it's not about law of attraction. It's about law of resonance. It's not about you attracting what you want, but it's about you attracting what you are. So I feel like in your case, being able to say, nope, this is not for me. And being able to say, nope, this is not worth it. And really just being able to draw those boundaries. I feel like that's a big step into recognizing your self-worth, just being able to say no and say, I think, you know, I think I can do better than this is like a big step already, because it like says something about what you're willing to take. And as you mentioned, it allows you to refine your preference. And because you have so much more clarity about what you want and what you don't want, it's so much easier for you then, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's so much easier for you then to go into the like a proper direction without those layovers of like saying, I think I'll try this, and then realizing it's not for you.
I think that's true. I think there's kind of the flip side to that for me that I have found actually a little frustrating or like a little hard to deal with, is that you feel like things are happening very slowly, because I think you see things that maybe say okay, let me think of an example. Like say if it was a job, and say you were job hunting, and you have quite a clear picture or clear idea of what the ideal job is, and you're clear about it in your mind, but you come across all of these like job vacancies and they don't quite fit that ideal job you have in your mind. Yeah. And so it can get a little frustrating, I think, because you spend a lot of time looking and looking and looking and it just doesn't quite fit. But sometimes, you know, you get there and you find something and it's perfect. And then sometimes you have to compromise. So I don't know. I think that's a whole other challenge then, once you've realized what it is you want. You then have this whole extra question after that of, what are you willing to compromise? Are you willing to compromise anything, or are you just not willing to compromise? And it's just, I think sometimes that's like, well, I don't know. I think for me, it's something that worries me sometimes, because I don't want to be someone who's like super duper idealistic and is not willing to compromise. Because what if you miss things, right? What if you miss great opportunities that because you weren't willing to compromise, that actually you could have, say, a job that it didn't sound perfect, but maybe it's good enough that then whilst you're in the job, you could then turn into something that was closer and closer into your ideal job. And I do think about that. That is something that I do think about.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be someone who like later on in life regrets not trying things out.
Maybe that's why it takes us so long to move on, right? To say enough is enough, maybe, because we know we try to make it work.
Yeah
we give it our best.
This could work. What you're saying sounds like it could work for a job,
for a relationship,
but a relationship as well.
That's true. And I was thinking, and you know, I was just talking about it with a friend, because I also have a friend in Singapore who she moved to Singapore. She wasn't able to find a job for 2 years, and then now she was able to find a job. And then we were saying, you know, I feel like we started to get that job when we let go of our expectations and we just decided to enjoy ourselves. And I was like, oh, it's just like finding a boyfriend, isn't it? Like, when you're not looking for it, that's when it happens.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the secret.
Yeah, I think it is, to be honest. I think it is, because then there's this, you come at it from the universe perspective, like the universe angle, where you know you, because I've read all this stuff in the post burnout stage where I was, you know, trying to, I did so much reading, I did so much writing, I did so much researching, I did like all of this stuff, like so much learning and just lots of hobbies, which was really great for, it sounds really cheesy, but it was great for my healing. But it sounds so cheesy, but it kind of is true. But I like the stuff I've read, which, you know, some of the things that I read were just, that I read were just a little bit too like out there for me and doesn't really meld with a lot of my own personal beliefs and values and thoughts and all that stuff. But something that I did read that was quite interesting was just around how when you want something so much, desperation isn't like attractive. And so
that makes sense.
Yeah. Like being desperate about things, about anything, is just not attractive. It's not attractive to like employers or love interests, right?
Or in general.
Yeah, in general. Or in this book was saying like the universe is not attracted to desperation.
Oh, what book is that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. These are just, I don't even know if this was exactly how it was said, but this is how I've interpreted it in my mind.
That's such a perfect way of putting it.
Yeah, but it's just not, right? It's not like attracted to desperation, because desperation is like comes off as being something that's more negative. Whereas, I don't know, something like excitement is more positive. And so it's much better to like, yes, feel excitement about something, but not desperate. So you're like excited, say in a relationship, using relationship or dating as an example, like it's perfectly, like it's so much better to be excited or like you're like keen to meeting people, but not desperate for it to be like a relationship. So you're just like excited to have a nice time and you're looking forward to that, but you're not like desperate for it to become this person to become your boyfriend. So I'm trying to be that kind of person as well, because I think definitely there are times where you just feel very negative about things. So another example is just like, for example, if you're writing in your journal or just changing the thoughts in your mind about, say, your work even or your daily tasks, and you say things like, oh, tomorrow I have to do this, it's a must do, these are the things I need to do, and then just changing that in your mind and in your writing into, these are the things that I get to do, these are the things that I'm fortunate enough to be able to do because I'm healthy and I have the time and the energy to do all these things. And it just becomes kind of a positive thing, I guess, and it doesn't sound like it's such a burden.
That's a good way of, yeah, I think that's a good tip. I should be more mindful of that.
Yeah, I need to do that too, actually, because I'm someone who's like, oh, I have so much to do tomorrow, whereas like, hey, some people don't get to do any of these things, right? Some people dream of doing the things we get to do. And so, yeah, reframing that from like this sort of perspective is quite good. So yeah, I think now with the start of this new year, you know, we're still, what date is it today? It's like the first 2 weeks of January. I think I haven't been off to a particularly great start just because I just haven't been feeling particularly well. But thanks to Andrea, I don't know. I just feel like whenever we have conversations like this, it just puts things into perspective.
Then it's a great thing that we're doing this podcast, even though we don't have that many listeners.
Yeah, we don't have many listeners at the moment. We probably just have the two of us and a few other people who we meet.
Our relatives.
It's probably just my phone, my iPad, my desktop, and they're all subscribed. And they're all an auto download, so it looks like there's several.
Oh my gosh, that's why.
No,
that's what it is.
No, but I feel like obviously we talk again and again about how the conversations that we have are therapeutic for us. Like it's kind of cathartic, and it's so cheesy to say, but it's like healing.
Aww.
I hate it when people say it's such a healing moment. Like, what are you talking about?
Too cheesy for you?
A bit too cheesy for me, but it's kind of true.
Aww.
But I just feel like, I don't know, like you know, you're talking about the podcast, and I just feel like if we never have many more podcast listeners than we do now, I think we myself, ourselves would have gotten so much value out of it that it wouldn't be a waste of time.
Yay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself, so maybe you can reassure me.
No, I feel the same way. I'm glad I get to talk to you about things because you helped me reframe.
Yeah, no, you've obviously, our conversations, you've been so helpful for me as well. And I think that you've also been, what's the best word? I mean, like, over the years, right? I, like, send you random texts and messages about stuff. And I feel like in so many ways, we're, like, very similar. And so it's so nice to have someone who knows what you're trying to say without having to say that much.
Oh,
I don't know. Is that helpful for our podcast listeners? I don't know.
But maybe this will encourage them to start their own podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's nice, right? It's nice. And I think that, you know, I have had a few people who, granted, they may be friends / related, but they have said that they have enjoyed listening to our conversations because a lot of it they can relate to. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, they listen to it while they're, you know, doing some work that doesn't require, like, you know, full on brain power, that they can listen to something as well, and or in the car. And it, you know, whether it's just entertainment or people are getting lessons or learnings from our stories and our experiences, then either way, we hope people get value out of it.
Yeah.
But
we're good.
Circle a little bit on here.
What's that?
We've come full circle a little bit on here, where we're talking about our, you know, job experiences, work experiences, experiences with burning out, in looking for jobs, in knowing when to move on, or having that, you know, that hint, that inkling of maybe it's time to move on to another job, to another opportunity. And then now also talking about, you know, this little project that we have, this podcast that we started last year, and we haven't missed a week. Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of For a While. Catch you in the next one. Bye.